Dr. Seuss's books are now banned. The historic book, To Kill a Mockingbird, has been taken away. The political correctness mob is on a tear. Never mind that Dr. Seuss's books were praised by Bill Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, and Joe Biden. All three of them are ducking and weaving today. This madness will never stop as long as the American people tolerate it. It has reached an absurd level. We must not remove blackheads from our face, or we're racists. Cotton can no longer be white. Q-tips must have diverse colors, not just white. We are destroying our society and culture with this nonsense. Meanwhile, we have a president in Joe Biden who lurks in the shadows with his deadly executive pen. He is too feeble-minded to be entrusted to deliver a State of the Union address, and as of today, has not held one press conference. Kamala Harris is dealing with foreign countries in Joe's absence. Does anybody else see danger here? Even Democrats rejected Joe Biden in their primary. He was not selected as their presidential nominee until after they got to the bottom of the barrel of their candidates and realized that they were all worse losers than Joe. It was only then that they circled back to Biden. He was approaching senility, but they had to have somebody to run against Donald Trump, and Biden was the best of a bad lot. Kamala Harris could manage to get only 2% in her race, and yet they paired her with Biden. I share credit for today's commentary with Sally Zelikovsky of American Thinker, Mary Chastain of Legal Insurrection, and Graham Pirro of Freebate Beacon for their research and comments, which I include with my own. Many Americans seem to have understandably concluded that Joe Biden has dementia based on his very public displays of confusion and incoherence. But the question we should actually be asking is, what's going on with Biden out of public view? As dementia grabs hold of one's faculties, men like Biden continue to view themselves as experienced executives, in control, commanding, and coherent, holding court as a family patriarch. The old dude who's seen it all. They don't doubt their ability to express ideas with the right words, and so they conduct business as usual. And for the most part, things go fine until they stammer over a word, get frustrated, then confused, and either babble their way out or shut down altogether. It isn't long before lost words, forgotten names, and elusive ideas are replaced by whatchamacallit. Who's a magic? What's her name? And you know the thing. These lapses can be easily hidden during the early stages. It's not uncommon for loved ones, spouses in particular, to make excuses for the afflicted, cover up the messes, and run interference with others. Jill Biden is doing that today. In those embarrassing moments when a dementia patient fails to recognize someone he should know, the dutiful spouse, often in denial theirself, will swoop down, rush to his side, and handle the mishap. She'll say something like, "Of course he remembers you. He's just tired from our trip. Can you excuse us for a second?" She will answer the phone and put the caller on speaker to assist in answering questions her spouse might find confounding. She will accompany him everywhere and serve as backup if he starts to fizzle. We've seen that from Biden's wife many times already. He is seldom left alone. But for those senior moments, he seems put together to the outside world. That's because the dutiful spouse makes sure the medicine is taken, hygiene and grooming are attended to, and meals are provided and eaten. She controls his schedule and prepares him for the day's events. She quickly learns that mornings are best. He tires and gets confused as the day ensues, and that crowds and noise are triggers for him. If she doesn't manage his life, he won't be able to manage it himself. But the charade can only last so long. She cannot anticipate everything, and the effects of the disease can be unpredictable. What many people don't realize is that stress is a huge trigger, and maintaining life as usual can add untold stress to a dementia patient and their life. Things we generally take for granted can be monumental stressors. A change in schedule or routine, a visit to a new place, travel, a new doctor, crowds, too many people talking at once, or loud noises. Surely you've noticed that Joe Biden holds few, if any, press conferences. To date, none. Those baying hounds of the press shouted over each other at Donald Trump, and Biden could not handle that. As stress incidents accumulate over time, anxiety increases. As anxiety builds, confusion mounts. Eventually, it seems none of the brain's electrical impulses can get where they need to go, and the individual devolves into delusions and hallucinations. It can happen at the end of a normal day, where the patient decompensates and becomes disoriented, confused, anxious, belligerent, or agitated, or amass over months and give way to hallucinations. What should give every American pause is the likelihood that Biden is already experiencing, or due to high stress levels, has a very high risk of experiencing disorientation, crippling anxiety, paranoia, serious behavioral changes, delusions, and intense cognitive decline. Dementia cannot be reversed and will only worsen. He might deliver a short speech and take a few questions without incident, but he inevitably falters as he tries indicata or other symptoms of that intensity as times go by. It isn't far-fetched to anticipate a president in the White House who forgets to dress, thinks night is day, wanders aimlessly in the middle of the night looking out windows, opening drawers, trying to get somewhere else. The laundry list of behavioral changes is vast and not conducive to a functioning presidency. However, Joe Biden is being propped up by Jill Biden and his handlers, groomed, medicated, and fed, and might appear just fine at the next day's events, even reading notes and teleprompters, until he forgets how to read, what the notes are for, or how the teleprompter even works. Forget about multitasking, handling complex economic or geopolitical issues, and running the country 24/7. With today's technology, deep fake videos, and a COVID-inspired virtual presidency, the DNC was confident it could pull a fast one on the American people, run a shadow government with old Joe as the face of the presidency, and cover up his infirmity and ineptitude with the aid of a dishonest press. Think Woodrow Wilson and FDR. We've seen it before. The problem Democrats have now is to keep Biden viable long enough to cover their tracks and plan to invoke the 25th Amendment, elevating Kamala Harris to the presidency. Someone, remember, couldn't convince more than 2% of the primary voters to consider her for a Democrat nomination. They can't afford to let Biden fold up so soon. The Democrat media complex was explicit about taking Trump down by any means necessary. And so none of what I've described is overblown or hyperbole. Fortunately for Jill Biden and old Joe's political handlers, COVID-19 has played right into their hands, requiring limited exposure to crowds, a controlled schedule, and scaled back social interactions. But lurking behind those senior moments and Joe Biden's gaffes is his inability to function independently for a full day at peak performance. Democrats just needed to get old Joe across the finish line and thought they could then figure out how to keep his failing faculties private. At the moment, Democrats are frantically trying to figure out how to get Joe Biden through a State of the Union appearance. Presidents have traditionally given the public a State of the Union address each February, but February passed without a State of the Union address from Joe Biden. It's generally given in the evening before Congress, but by evening, Biden is hitting on very few cylinders. Their problem is not unlike the one where a clown has lost his makeup kit and can't go out without floppy shoes. Democrats were willing to chance this mess in their hatred of Donald Trump, and now we have to deal with it. My prediction is that Democrats will not be able to cover up this charade for more than 2 years, if that, and that they will finally have to admit that they tried to fool the American people. That would put Willie Brown's mistress, Kamala Harris, into the Oval Office and unleash an all-out assault on American values. Already, behind the scenes, the progressive left wing of the Democrat Party is running the country. Joe Biden signs whatever is put before him by these handlers. That includes a COVID-19 relief bill that has little or nothing to do with coronavirus relief. Nancy Pelosi's iron fist control of the House Democrats led to the passage of a $1.9 trillion relief package. But there is more pork in the bill than a Chicago meat plant. The bill provides $1.9 trillion, but only $825 billion goes to actual COVID-related items. $1 trillion is for pork and pet projects. Is anyone shocked the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 bill has little to do with the virus? These kind of bills allow lawmakers to shove in pet projects to repay special interests for all the money they pump into the Democrats' reelection campaigns. This phony COVID bill hands out the following: $75 billion for medical supplies, testing, treatments, and vaccinations; $19 billion for public health, state and local departments, and community health centers; $7.2 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP; $15 billion for economic injury disaster loans; and $26 billion to bars, live events, and restaurants. Then there's $15 billion for airlines' payroll support. The bill also raises unemployment to $400 a week. This rewards 53% of Americans for being unemployed and can last a year and a half. The CBO predicts the unemployment changes could increase deficits by $246 billion. Plus, people staying unemployed for almost 16 months could increase the unemployment rate as well as decrease labor force participation. Then there's the $413 billion in relief checks. Democrats want to send $1,400 per man, woman, and dependent, and that begins phasing out at $75,000 for individual income or $150,000 for a couple. So all of that comes to $825 billion. So where's the rest of the money going? Republican Jim Banks of Indiana pointed out that Democrats were hoping the public's attention was occupied watching a made-for-TV trial of the former president, because they've been quietly loading up a $1.9 trillion budget reconciliation bill with special interest pork and other liberal goodies and giveaways. Democrats were trying to ram through a minimum wage to $15 an hour. Union contracts are tied to any raise in the minimum wage. When the minimum wage is raised to help poor workers, the unions automatically get a raise in their contracts. These unions are the backbone of the Democrat Party, and appeasing them is always in the Democrats' interest. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour would be a job killer, hitting younger Americans with less formal education the hardest. The CBO tagged such an action could eliminate 1.4 million jobs. Thankfully, publicity of this absurdity caused Democrats to back off reluctantly. The Democrats also decided that abortion, immigration, and China belonged in a bill supposedly meant to aid Americans. Democrats blocked an amendment with Hyde language that would ensure that federal benefits used to pay for a COBRA health insurance premium are not used to provide abortion services. That maintains ability for Planned Parenthood to receive paycheck protection funds. Planned Parenthood funnels money back into the Democrat coffers for re-elections. And a lot of it. In other words, your tax dollars go to Planned Parenthood, not only to pay for slaughtering babies, but to be sent back to Democrats in the form of political donations. Also, this stimulus bill could go to families where a parent is an illegal immigrant. It allows subsidies paying for 85% of COBRA premiums to go to illegal immigrants. This alleged COVID-19 relief bill goes soft on China. It allows funding to go to colleges that have partnerships with companies that are owned or controlled by Communist China. Democrats rejected a GOP amendment to fix this. Schools remaining closed has become a hot topic issue. Joe Biden promised to open schools within his first 100 days. However, this monstrous bill gives schools incentives to remain closed because the government will provide them with $130 billion on top of the $110 billion already given to schools, even if those schools remain closed. Labor unions, including teachers' unions, would have access to funding worth up to $10 million per union. The Democrat bill also expands the PPP to cover violent criminals, including those guilty of assault on a police officer and non-consensual sex crimes. Thus, the new guidelines for PPP push aside the small businesses that need the funding. It also includes large nonprofits like country clubs, fraternities, sororities, and publicly traded internet news organizations. Ridiculous, you say? I agree, but it doesn't stop there. You cannot have a Democrat bill without social justice. The left's social justice agenda, evidenced in this bill, provides $50 million in funding for EPA environmental justice grants, a thinly veiled kickback to leftist environmental groups, radical groups. The Democrat bill passed. That would expand Medicaid eligibility for 5 years to incarcerated individuals 30 days prior to their release. It prioritizes funding based on identity politics while ignoring rural businesses and communities. It gives billions in subsidies and loan forgiveness worth 120% of debt to farmers and ranchers on the basis of race and ethnicity, as well as $800 million in additional foreign food aid. The Democrats' budget busting includes more foolish spending. It provides an additional $1.5 billion to Amtrak, which is already sitting on roughly $1 billion of unspent aid. It provides a $350 billion bailout for state and local governments, despite limited declines on overall revenue last year. Such funding effectively subsidizes unwarranted shutdowns that kill businesses and destroy livelihoods. Democrats on the Education and Labor Committee blocked an amendment that would have required agency inspector generals to audit and report on the use of COVID-19 funds. They don't want you to know. A Wall Street Journal editorial piece mentioned Senator Chuck Schumer slipped in $1.5 billion for the Seaway International Bridge, which connects New York to Canada. This runaway spending also includes $500 million for grants to fund activities related to the arts, humanities, libraries, and museums, and Native American language preservation. None of this has anything to do with COVID-19 relief. It's a joke. Last but not least, we have a welfare wish list. That section of the Democrat bill includes more subsidies for the low-income home energy assistance program. And then it steps closer to taking over the medical community and more paid leave for federal employees. The bill incentivizes harmful Medicaid expansion by increasing newly expanded states' base FMAP by 5% age points for 2 years. Not only does that hurt state budgets, it also brings our nation one step closer to a complete federal takeover of our health care system, something Democrats have been trying to do for years. This ill-advised relief bill increases the size of Obamacare premium tax credits for existing beneficiaries and effectively places an excise tax on everyday Americans' pharmaceutical purchases by removing the Medicaid AMP rebate cap, which could create instances where drug manufacturers are paying Medicaid to supply drugs. This so-called COVID-19 relief bill, the Democrat-controlled House just passed, provides nearly $600 million for additional paid leave for federal employees and postal workers, and would allow self-employed people to claim up to 60 days annually worth the federally subsidized paid leave at your expense. There is much more waste in this bogus relief bill that is designed to ensure re-election of Democrats and control of the country. If by now you are not sick to your stomach, you have a stronger constitution than I. This Democrat-passed bill will encounter rough waters when it gets to the Senate, but given the graft in Congress, we cannot be assured that it will be drastically altered by weak-kneed Republicans. COVID relief needs are understandable, but this bill, crafted by Democrats, wastes far more money than it provides for relief. You're not going to hear that from the mainstream media. They will not tell you these things. In fact, they will try to hide them from you. It's hard to describe the feelings we have as our world changes all around us. We are driving ourselves out of existence. The progressives have an agenda. It's a harsh agenda, and they're going to drive that agenda day after day after day. Unfortunately, Republican lawmakers have very weak spines. They don't stand up and fight the Democrats. And by the way, when I say fight the Democrats, I don't mean get a gun and go shoot somebody. That's a figment of the media's imagination when you say fight. Every president, every politician uses that term over and over again. It was only when Donald Trump used it that it got out of hand. They then used it as a crutch to beat him over the head with. I backed Donald Trump. I thought the swamp needed being cleaned out. He began to do that. He said he would do it, and he began to do that. But that caused the establishment in the swamp to band together, Republicans and Democrats, to destroy this man. I didn't say just drive him out of office. I mean, that was a given. That won't work. You've got to destroy him. You've got to destroy his family. You've got to destroy his businesses. And long after he's out of office, they'll still be trying to do that. Surely we can see that. Surely everyone can see that. Democrats don't want to see it because they think it's in their best interest. But let me tell you, the only good thing coming out of all of this mess is that Biden and his Democrat followers are going to go so far overboard, they've already done so, that come the next election, less than 2 years away, I predict that the Democrats are going to lose the Senate and lose the House. Pelosi will be out on her ugly keister. It was bound to happen, and I'm looking forward to it. I thank you for listening today. I hope you found this helpful to understanding the latest money grab by a Democrat Party desperate to retain power. I'll be back again next week, God willing, same time and same station. And God bless America.